So today we're very lucky because not only do we get to have Pastor Corinne Hallett, but we also get to have Sadie with us as we're she's doing her presentation. So we'll see whether she joins her or not.
So this summer I filled in at a church for 3 Sundays. You can't hear me? Now can you hear me? Oh, okay. This summer I filled in at a church for 3 weeks, and I had Sadie with me. I have a carrier I brought to, like, strap her to me, and it worked out just fine, so we'll go with it. I saw a Facebook post on November 6th that said, "You're worried about the price of milk. I'm worried about my son getting beat up at school because he likes wearing dresses. We are not the same." Comment back from another person, "No, we are not the same." Another post from Patrick on November 6th, 1.20.25. A comment from Amanda, "The day we moved to Canada." Comment from Kendall to Amanda, "Bye." Comment from Brianne to Amanda. Most people who say this don't actually do it. Comment from Amanda to Brianne. "Really? People don't make a life-changing decision based on the outcome of an election? Maybe it's just some sarcastic way of saying they're not a fan of the outcome. Lighten up." Comment from Brianne. People are in their 50s and 60s, by the way. The first one in her 30s. A HuffPost article on November 12th. "My husband and his family voted for Trump, so I'm canceling Thanksgiving and Christmas." New York Times post on Instagram on November 13th. "Republicans win House majority, claiming both chambers of Congress." A comment from, well, I'm going to use letters like A, B, C, because it gets confusing. Comment from A. "Hi, I hate it here." Reply from B, "Bye." Reply from C, "Then leave." Reply from D, "Then leave, we won't miss you." More replies, "Leave," and a reply to that, "You're doing a lot in the comments to prove you're a bored, small-minded person. How about this? Since you didn't leave the country in 2020, don't go around telling people they should leave because they would like the Department of Education to stay intact." And finally, a reply to the original comment, "Hi, get them out of here," with a smiling emoji. Ugh. These are just a smattering of things that I've read in the past week and a half. And to be clear, I don't actually spend a lot of time on social media. I accidentally somehow changed the settings on my phone recently so I get these notifications from Facebook. Otherwise, I'm never on it. But what strikes me each time I read or hear things like this is how divisive it all is. And that there are assumptions like, "I care about these things that are worthy of our collective concern, and you do not," are ridiculously sensitive. It feels like maybe we've stopped wondering about one another. It's easier to jump to simple conclusions and create categorical boxes to put people in. And to be fair, that's understandable. When there's so much fear at play, when we are afraid or anxious, don't we do whatever we can to make ourselves feel safe? And so, perhaps without intention or even realizing it, we attempt to block people out in an attempt to feel safer. I keep thinking about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s prophetic understanding that darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. And hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. And so too, then I wonder, Division probably cannot drive out division. What can? Community? And maybe most importantly, curiosity. Now, before we go further, I want to say two things. One, it would have been a heck of a lot easier for me to come here and talk about this topic if things had gone differently a week and a half ago. I was kind of looking forward to that because I could have waxed poetic about how we can come together. And two, there are times and spaces in which we have to prioritize our safety and or the safety of those around us. There are times and spaces in which our curiosity can be done only from afar, and that's okay. That said, I truly believe that compassionate curiosity is what we need now more than ever. Compassionate curiosity. It's like the practice of mindfulness. Mindfulness requires both presence and compassion. Being fully aware of our surroundings, our thoughts, and our feelings, the present moment without judgment, and a kind, understanding attitude toward ourselves and others. That's the kind of curiosity I think we need in order to lean into the belief that we are more alike than we are different, and that we could somehow come together in our differences. So to get at this, I offered the idea that Curious George has at least as much to teach us now as he did when we were children. So I'm not going to read this whole book because it's actually kind of long. But one morning at breakfast, the man with the yellow hat told George he had a surprise for him. It was a bicycle. So, of course, the man with the yellow hat tells George to be careful, stick around, and George, being George, does a lot of tricks, figures out his bike, and then sees a newsboy riding by, and the newsboy just decides, sure, this monkey can hand out some newspapers. All I have to do is tell him to go one side of the street first and then the other, and he was proud. Okay, ready? George started to deliver the papers on one side of the street as he had been told. When he came to the last house, he saw a little river in the distance. George was curious. He wanted to know what the river was like. So instead of turning back to deliver the rest of the papers, he just went on. There was a lot to see at the river. A man was fishing from the bridge, a duck family was paddling downstream, and two boys were playing with their boats. George would have liked to have stopped and looked at boats, but he was afraid the boy might find out that he had not delivered all the papers, so he rode on. But then he kept thinking about these boats and how much fun it would be, and he wondered how he could get one, and then he had an idea. He got off the bicycle, took a newspaper out of the bag and began to fold it into boats. He made boats out of the rest of the newspapers. Right? Watching his fleet sailing down the river, George felt like an admiral. And then it goes on. He ends up at a circus and all kinds of things. Curious George books. I think we're meant to be fun, funny, sweet. Maybe the books were even intended to help children to be good and make good decisions. But George is the one who has something to teach us, as George. That sometimes being curious leads to adventures and stories that being good would never get us to. It's like John Lewis encouraging us to get into good trouble. So what if we got curious about our world, about one another? What might happen? And rather than going straight to, why in the world would you ever vote for that person? How could you? What if we ask one another, what makes you get out of bed in the morning? Have you ever read a book more than once? Which one? What compelled you to read it again? What does autumn taste like to you? What do you remember about your grandmother? What's your favorite cookie? What moves you? And I don't know if we have time, but let's just go for it. To do this right now and ask someone near you one of those questions or one of your own. All right, I invite you to wrap up where you are. It's good to hear all of that. Thank you for doing that with me. So in the next week or so, I invite you to ask somebody else, maybe ask a neighbor. Actually, I just asked my neighbors. And when we're at the grocery store, this is my challenge, and we see someone curious, maybe ask in your head, who might they love? What was life like for them when they were 8 years old? What's their favorite way to make stuffing? What might they be afraid of? And even without asking people directly, the practice of leaning into compassionate curiosity can get us closer to that belief that we said earlier, that we are more alike than we are different. And if that's too much, if that feels too overwhelming in the moment where you are and your body says, I'm not safe, then start with the curiosity and wonder of a child. Sadie's teaching me this right now. So look at your own hand. Notice how it moves. I love when she just stares at her hand and then realizes I'm moving it. And yeah, it's pretty amazing, the contours, the lines. When you hear music, pause and turn toward it. What's that? Become aware of what's in front of you as the magical world that it is. I forgot to write this quote down. I was at my daughter's, so this is off the cuff. I was at my oldest daughter's conference the other night at the high school, and the math teacher had a quote from Albert Einstein that said, I have no special talents, just, what is it, a lot of curiosity or wonder, curiosity, something about curiosity. I said, oh, I'm writing that down right now. Okay. Valerie Kaur, in her book, See No Stranger, which I highly recommend. This is one that I would like to read again, but it's pretty big, so we'll see. She lifts up wonder like curiosity. She says, wonder is our birthright. It comes easily in childhood, the feeling of watching dust motes dancing in sunlight, or climbing a tree to touch the sky, or falling asleep thinking about where the universe ends. If we are safe and nurtured enough to develop our capacity to wonder, we start to wonder about the people in our lives too, their thoughts and experiences, their pain and joy, their wants and needs. We begin to sense that they are to themselves as vast and complex as we are to ourselves, their inner world as infinite as our own. In other words, we are seeing them as our equal. We are gaining information about how to love them, and wonder is the wellspring for love. Skipping ahead. She writes about being in a restaurant and overhearing a conversation racist, hateful comments, and speaks up to the men. And she said she couldn't wonder in the moment about them, but later she just kept replaying the conversation in her mind. She wrote down their words, until she was able to quiet her reaction of disgust, and then it happened. I heard the suffering inside their hate, their anxiety about keeping their jobs, their sense of violation since 9/11, their terror as a nation where white people like them had economic and cultural control, seemed to disappear. The relief upon the rise of political figures who validated their hate. These men inhabited a world filled not with people, but with subhumans who threatened them. What a painful way to live. Their pain did not justify their hate. But once I could listen from inside their pain, I no longer saw them as simple, homogenous, or evil. I saw them as deeply human, deeply complex, and deeply wounded. She quotes Richard Rohr, which I know some of you are a fan of. Pain that is not transformed is transferred. And then she speaks later about having a disagreement with her grandfather, who she's very, very, very close with. And she writes, "Love is not an exchange economy. I was going to choose to love Papa G even if he did not know how to love me." And then, towards the end, "Seeing no stranger begins in wonder. It is to look upon the face of anyone and choose to say, 'You are a part of me I do not yet know.' Wonder is the wellspring for love. Who we wonder about determines whose stories we hear and whose joy and pain we share. Those we grieve with, those we sit with and weep with, are ultimately those we organize with and advocate for. When a critical mass of people come together to wonder about one another, we begin to build the solidarity needed for collective liberation and transformation, a solidarity rooted in love." So, as hard as it can be, I invite us to that compassionate curiosity. And my friend John, when we were talking, said, what we need is compassionate curiosity and the belief that everybody has inherent worth and dignity. And I would bring those two things together. What did you say? We can move up the mountain together. So that's what I have for you today, and I'd love to hear if we have time.
Bye.
Thank you.